Today's shir is Masechet Maayot Katan Daf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Dalet Beis, the last words on the Amid, quoting the words of our Mishnah, Umesaknen es kukulei hamayim shebrishos rabim. On Yont Chol Hamoed, the sources of water that got ruined may be fixed on Chol Hamoed, and the Mishnah says further, we could do chatita from different extraneous matter that get clogged into these places. Says the Gemara, chatita is permissible, chafira, but to dig it is not mutter. And the posh pshat in the Gemara is that, as we keep on discussing when we speak about Hilchos Chol Hamoed, tircha is what Chazal were most concerned with, and chatita does not represent a serious tircha, and therefore it's permissible. Chafira represents a serious tircha, and that's why it's asur. Taisus, that's Taisus pshat. Others explain that when we allow melacha to be done in Chol Hamoed, it's only if it's not considered a ma'aseh umen, if it's not something that's considered a significant professional act. Chatita is not considered a ma'isumen, and chafira is considered a ma'isumen. Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan, loy shanu, this halacha that we said chatita is permissible is elok shein rabim tzrichim lehem, when there is no great need for that water. Rabim tzrichim lehem, but if there's a situation that the rabim tzrichim lehem, then the halacha is afilu chafira, even digging a new source of water would be mutter. There are many different explanations. What is the definition of Rabban Tzrichim Lehem? The Pashup Pshat, which Rashi in the Ksav Yad says here, is that it's a situation where there is no water to drink. The Ritva is not satisfied with that Pshat, because the Ritva says if it's a situation where they need that water to drink and they don't have that water, and they don't have water, of course, we're allowed to do whatever we need to do in Chol Hamoed. And therefore, the Ritva questions this pshat. I did see that those that defend it, they say, yes, we're dealing with a situation where there is no water available. But we could get to that water through chatita. Teaches us the Gemara that even though we could get to the water through chatita, if it's a situation of rabim tzrichim lehem, that even chafira would be mutter. Another pshat that Taisa suggests is that the water is going to be necessary right away after Chol Hamoed. So even though what's being done here is not Lutzor Chol Hamoed, we're only going to drink this water after Yontif, still, since they need this water immediately after Yontif, that's already considered Rabim Tzrichlehem. The Ramban has a third pshat. The Ramban says that Rabim Tzrichlehem means that there may be water available, but the water that's available is not close available. We have to get to that water. And the Gemara is teaching us that if in order to make the water more readily available, that's already considered Rabim Tzrichim Lehem. V'chirabim Tzrichim Lehem Meishari, ask the Gemara, if a situation of Rabim Tzrichim Lehem, are we allowed to do chafira? V'tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Chaitin Boiris Sichem Aris, Veladu Chatita on Boiris Sichem Aris Shal Yachid, if it belongs to the individual, Vein Tzor Chloimer, and certainly Bishal Rabim. The difference between these different types of pits is a bar is round, a siach is long and narrow, and a mara is like a cave. The Halach is, says the Braisa, we may do Chatita on these different types of water sources, if it belongs to Yochid, Vein Tzarech Leimer, certainly if it belongs to the Rabbim. Continues the Braisa, Vein Chay from Baris Sichem Aris Shal Rabbim, but we're not allowed to do Chafira on these different types of pits, even if they belong to the Rabbim. Vein Tzarech Leimer, certainly Shal Yochid. If they belong to the Yochid, we may not do the Chafira. My love, isn't this Braisa discussing situation, suggests the Gemara, B'shir Rabbim Tzrichem Lehem, that the Rabbim need it. And even though the Rabbim need it, only Chatita is permissible, not Chafira. Answers Gemara Loi. The Bryce is referring to a situation b'she'ein rabim tzrich lahem, and that's why chatita is only permitted, not chafira. But if it would be a situation of rabim tzrich lahem, even chafira would be mutter. Says the Gemara, t'kavasog abiyachid. If the Bryce is speaking about a situation of rabim ein tzrich lahem, so when we're speaking about the yachid, we're also referring to a situation, presumably, of ein yachid tzarech lahem. So if it's a situation, asked the Gemara, of ein ha-yachid tzarech lahem, chatita mishari, would chatita be permissible? V'tanya, bar sichem marashal yachid, kainz amayim v'toicham, that if the water, if these pits get clogged up, we're allowed to clear them to be able to get the water into them. Avloi chaitatin, we're not allowed to do chatita, v'loi shofin asitkeim. We're not allowed to plaster the cracks. So rabim, but if it belongs to the rabim, chaitatin our son, we're allowed to do chatita, v'shofin asitkeim, we're allowed to plaster the cracks. So the Braisa says that we're not allowed to do chatita, v'tzarech yochid. So if we're going to say that when the first Braisa says, we're allowed to do chatita, baris soichin amaris of a yochid, is referring to a situation of a yochid tzarech lahem, so we can reconcile these two brises very easily. The brisa that allows chatita by bar shel yochid is when the yochid tzarech lahem, when the yochid needs it. The brisa that says that chatita is prohibited is going to be referring to a situation when the yochid doesn't need it. But if we're going to say that when the first brisa said you're allowed to do chatita bar soichos amaris, it's even in a case of any yachid tzarech lahem. So how are we going to understand the second brisa that says that it's not permissible if the first brisa says that even in a situation of any yachid tzarech lahem, it's still permissible to do chatita? Elamai, what are you going to say? That the first brisa that allows chatita by bairus sichra ma'iris that belong to the yachid is referring to a bar she yochid tzarech lahem, that the yochid needs that bar. The kavasoi gabi rabim, and we'll have to explain that the brisa, being that it's talking about a case of tzarech lahem, is going to be talking about a case again that the rabim tzrich lahem. Ask the Gemara if we're referring here to a situation of rabim tzrich lahem, so then chafira may asur, would chafira be prohibited? V'tanya, have we not learned in a brisa? Baris sichra ma'iris shal yochid, kain samayim v'toichon, v'chayta t'nai son. We're allowed to do chatita. Avloi shofen as it came, we're not allowed to plaster the cracks. V'loi chayta t'n v'toichon. And as I saw the Lechem Mishnah explains, there's two types of chatita. There's chatita l'toichon, which represents a significant tircha, similar to chafira, which is osur. And then there's a lesser chatita, which doesn't represent such a serious tircha, and would be mutter. We're not allowed to plaster them with lime, so rabbin, but when we speak about the bar sichem rabbis of the rabbin, so this brisa clearly says that we're allowed to do chafira by the bairus shel rabim. And we have to say that even if we'll say it's talking about rabim tzrich lahem, we see clearly that rabim tzrich lahem, even chafira is mutter. So, like Rabbi Yochanan said, so says the Gemara, but if that's the case, el kosh ach kamaisa, the first brisa that says that we're not allowed to do chafira on Boris Seichus Marius of the Rabbim, and we explained, because we were caught with a question, that Bryce is talking about Rabbim Tzrich Lahem, and still the Bryce has said that by Boris Shal Rabbim, even though it's Rabbim Tzrich Lahem, Chafira is Osir. So says the Gemara, Teretz Hachi. This is the way we have to understand the first Bryce. Chaitet and Boris Shal Yochid. We'll add a Duchatita on a Boris Shal Yochid. When is that permissible? If we have a board that the rabbim tzrich lahem, not only is chatita permissible, afil chafira would be permissible. Mutter. When is it talking about When it's ain't rabbi tzrich lahem, chafira is prohibited. Then tzarich lahem mishal yachid, and certainly if it belongs to the yachid, the ki ain a yachid tzarich lahem, because when the, it's a situation of ain a yachid tzarich lahem, then the halach is afil chatita nami asur. Then even not only is chafira prohibited by a bar shal yachid, but even chatita would be asur by a bar shal yachid. Amar of Ashi. Masnisa Nami Deka. Our Mishnah also seems to agree with Reb Yoichron that when we have a situation of Rabbim Tzrichlehem, a Boshal Rabbim, the Rabbim Tzrichlehem, then the halacha is that we're allowed to even do Chafira, the Ktani, because at the end of our Mishnah we learned, Oysen Kol Tzarchi Rabbim. What is the Kol Tzarchi Rabbim? Kol Asuyimai. What does the Kol Tzarchi Rabbim come to teach us? Lav Lasuya Chafira. Isn't it coming to teach us that Chafira may be done on a Bar Shal Rabbim Kishu Rabbim Tzrichim Lehem? So the Ritva asks, maybe what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is, as we've discussed, that we're allowed to do Dine Mominus or Dine Makis or Egla Rufa. So the Ritva answers that the Gemara doesn't want to say that's what the Kol is coming to teach us. Because the whole Mishnah was speaking about working on the field or working and digging, etc. To say that also in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, when it comes to say Kol Tzarchi Rabbim, is coming to speak about something that has nothing to do with a labor in the field is difficult. Says Marloy, that's not a raya. Because we'll say, Lesuya Hadatanya, the Mishnah at the end is coming to teach us what we learned in the Braisa, Yoitzin Lekavitz Sadrachim, we'll let it go out on Cholamoid to take off the thorns in the road, that people shouldn't get hurt with those thorns. Lusakin as a rechavos to fix the roads. Vestas tutois. As tutois are the marketplaces. They may be fixed on Cholamoid. Ulaman as a mikvahs to check. The Torah says that the shear of a mikvah, the pasuk says, is v'rochetz b'mayim as kol besorei. And we learn from here that the halacha is. The Gemara teaches us this in Masechta Chagiga, that the minimum shear of a mikvah is that a person has to be able to immerse kop gufay bebas achas, his entire body at one time. And Chazal determined, that that is the area of an amma and an amma by the height of three ammas, which is, Chazal said, is the amount that holds 40 saw. As the Rishonim explained, that's the amount the average individual takes up. So you have to check the mikvah that it should have the proper shear in the mikvah. Furthermore, says the Braisa, the chol mikvah she'ein bo yabayim saw, if the mikvah won't have the proper amount of water, magil matoch yabayim saw, we have to make sure that we should fill it up with water. But of course we know that the halach is mayim shuvim. If we have water in a container and we pour that water in the mikvah, that's not kosher mikvah water. It has to go directly into the mikvah or go over the ground. So that is allowed to be done on Chol Hamoed. Omenayim, shem lo yotzu, if they did not take their responsibility and did this, we also call Eilo, that they don't take care of what they're supposed to take care of. Shekol dom mishanishbechu sham, anybody who is hurt, the people who did not take their responsibility seriously and did not prepare the roads, is considered as if they did murder. So Rashi says that if a person travels on a road that wasn't cleared from the thorns, then he's going to hurt himself. It's considered shvichas damim. The Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam says, we know that if somebody kills Rachman Litzlan, someone else b'shoigig, he's supposed to run to the Ari Miklot. And the halach is, until he gets to the Ari Miklot, the goyel hadam of the victim is allowed to take revenge in the murderer. So we have to make it easy for the b'shoigig, to get to the Ari Miklot. And that's what it means here, that we have to clear the roads to make it easy to get there. Says the Gemara, isn't that what the Mishnah is coming to teach us? But not coming to teach us that we're allowed to do chafira on a bor shal rabim tzrichim lehem. Answers Gemara, Haba Hedukatani. All of these activities that we just learned in the Brisa, we don't need the Mishnah to allude that that's permissible. Because the Mishnah says, Mesakna Sadrachavas Rechavas Os Mikvas. So we don't have to teach us that. So it must be Vasa. So when the Mishnah says, V'oisin called Tzarchi Rabbim, when the Mishnah says that we're allowed to do Tzarchi Rabbim, Lasuyamai, what is it coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us that the chafira that you're allowed to do on a bar, shorabim, shorabim tzrichalhem, not only chatita permissible, but as Rabbi Yochanan taught us, even chafira is permissible, shmamino, that is clearly the halacha, and that is clearly the halacha. Says the Gemara, but signin as a kvarois, we learned in the Mishnah that we're allowed to put on lime on the kvaris, and we do so with sid, and the Rishonim explained the reason that it's done with sid, with plaster, because plaster is the same color as the bones that we're trying to show that there are bones buried here. Another pshat is that sid is something that remains for a long time. And since sid remains for a long time, therefore it's the right type of material to use to make this marker. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, Remez Letzin Kfaris Mitoyer Minayim. Where do we find this concept that we make the marker? Tamaloymer, Urei Etzem Adam, if you see the bone of a person, or Bona Etz Letzion. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel that speaks about the Mechemes Goy Gemogog, which will come in the time of Mashiach, and they're going, these enemies of Klai Yisrael will go out to war with us, and many of these people will die. And the pasuk says that when somebody will then be traveling on the road and see the bone of a person, he can make on top of it a tzion, a simen, to know that there's a person buried there. So there's many questions to ask here. The first, the purpose of all the of doing this is to know that there's a bone there. But the bones that we're speaking about are the bones of the Mechemes Gog and Magog, of the Nachrim, who are going to hold war with us. And Nachrim are not Metame Ba'oil. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that even though the bones of Nachrim are not Metame Ba'oil, they are Metame B'maga or B'masa. And since the Metame B'maga B'masa, that's why we have to make a marker for them as well. Another pshat that I saw, that amongst the people who will participate against Klal Yisrael in the Melchemes Goy Gemogog are Jews who don't act like Jews are supposed to act. But still, their bones are Metama Tumas Oil, and that's why we have to make these markers on these bones, even because they are the bones of Jews who are Pashi Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina asked Rav Ashi, Hamakam Delesi Yecheskel. So this is a pasuk in Yecheskel. So before Yecheskel came, Man Omer. But before we go further, the Rishonim ask, why is this called a remez? The pasuk is explicit that they had to make these markers. So why does the pasuk use the word remez? So Rashi says that the pasuk is not giving us a directive that we're obligated to do it. The pasuk is only telling a nevuah that this will happen. Another pshat that I saw is because, as we just said, we're primarily speaking about kivrei akum, and kivrei akum don't have tumas oil, so that's why we could understand why the pasuk can only be considered a remez, not a full-fledged. The pasuk can be considered a remez, not a full-fledged directive. Ask the Gemara. So where did we notice halacha before Yecheskel? Ask the Gemara. Tameich. Hadam Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, "Dovizem Taurus Moshe Rabbeinu Loi Lamanu." The following halacha has not been stated explicitly in the Torah. The Torah is called Torah because it's here to teach us lessons forever. Whereas Nevi'im are called Divrei Kabbalah because it was something that was taught to us by Nevuah. And the Nevuah is not necessarily going to be here forever, doesn't apply for all generations. Says the Gemara, says Rav Chisda, Dovazeb, that a kohen who's an oral may not do the avoida. But Taurus Moshe Rabbeinu Loi Lamadna, Medivar Yecheskel and Buzi Lamanu. We learn it rather from a pasuk in Yecheskel. Well, the pasuk says, "Ko ben necher ora leiva ora basa la yova al migdashi to may not enter the base of migdash to do the avoida." And there's a big machlokes Rashi and Tosis. What would be the halacha if you have a kohen shemesu echav machmas mila? His brothers passed away during the mila. What halacha is that we don't do mila on such an individual. So he's an oinus. He's not that he didn't want to have a bris mila. It was beyond his control. May such a kohen do the avoida or not? Rashi says the reality is that he doesn't have a bris. And since he doesn't have a bris, he may not do the avoida. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that the only person who may not do the avoida if he doesn't have a bris is if he didn't have a bris, b'mezid. But if he didn't do the bris because it was beyond his control, then that's not the kohen who may not do the avoida. But there's a question. Because Rabbi Kiva, in Masechta Chagiga, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, teaches us that an oral has the din of a tamei. So if an oral has a din as a tamei, and of course a tamei may not enter the base of Mikdash. So why is there a need for a special pasuk to teach us that an oral may not do the avoida? The oral is no different than the tamei. So some Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ramban, say that this is not following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who considers an oral like a tamei. Others explain that with the pshat that we just suggested from Rashi, that even Rabbi Kiva, who says an oral is katamei, is only an oral who did not do a bris mila b'mezid. But let's say you have somebody who we just described, did not do a bris mila b'shoigig b'oinus. Such an individual, even Rabbi Kiva will agree, is not considered like a tamei. But according to Rashi, the pasuk in Yecheskel is telling us, since he doesn't have a bris mila, he may not do the avoida. So again, comments the Gemara. The comment of Lassi Yecheskel, before Yecheskel taught us this halacha, man omer, who taught it us? What must we say? Gemara Gemirullah, we had halacha l'mosh m'sinai, that this is the halacha, and then Vasi Yecheskel, v'asmecha kro, and then Yecheskel recorded it in a pasuk. Hachinami, so too will we say regarding the halach of tzin kvaris, making a marker. It was Gemara Gemirula, Vasi Yecheskel, v'asmecha kro. So there's a fundamental machlokes rishonim. This that we're learning in our Gemara, that you have to make a marker, that you have to make a tzion, is it a deraisa or derabonim? Rashi says it's a chi of deraisa. Tosfos says it's a derabonim. But ask Daruch Haner, if according to Tosfos, the entire chiv of making this marker is only a chiv derabonon, how could we say Gemiri Mesinai? How could we say there's Alok Lamash Mesinai if it's only a derabonon? So the Karen Ayre answers that what it means here, Gemiri Mesinai, doesn't mean it's Alok Lamash Mesinai. It means that the Torah gave Rishus to the Rabbanon to make rules when they saw fit. And the Rabbanon saw fit in this case to make a rule to make a tzion. Other achronim suggest that what it means hilchos gemir law, it doesn't mean a full-fledged, according to Tosfos, a full-fledged halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Rather, it means Moshe Rabbeinu taught them that this is the right thing to do. But it doesn't have the status of halacha l'moshe m'sinai, which has the status of a deraisa. Ravu amem hacha. Ravu says, how do we know we have to make a tzion? Because the pasuk says regarding the mitzvah, the pasuk says v'tamei tamei yikra, tuma kairala. The tuma calls out v'amaloi v'merisloi and says perosh, separate. So we have to have something to be a marker to indicate to us that this tuma here and avoid it. The kain amar ravazil babareid ravazil rabba tuma kairala. The tuma calls out and says, Vimers like Parosh, separate yourself. So sort of the Yalkut Gershuni explains that what's the purpose of the Tzion. So we're learning, and that's the Posh Peshat of the Gemara, the purpose of making the marker is that a person should of course avoid Tuma. But he adds another element, and he says that a person, by seeing a Matseva on top of a Kever, walking on the road, and seeing a matzeva on top of the kever will make him recognize and realize how temporary our life in this world is. And by realizing how temporary our life in this world is, it will cause him to act appropriately, realizing that we're going to have to give din the cheshbon. Ask the Gemara, v'hayla hachyudasa, is that what we learn from this pasuk? Don't we learn from the pasuk? Ask the Gemara, hahumi v'hayla hachyudasa, don't we need it to teach us the halacha, the pasuk regarding mitzayra? The pasuk says, v'tamei, tamei yikra. The tamei, tzorach leidia tzara l'rabim, has to make people aware of a situation in order that people should daven for him. Tzorach leidia tzara l'rabim, v'rabim v'akshim alav. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is because this person is a mitzayra, and he became a mitzayra because he did averis, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not listen to his tefillahs. And because a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't listen to his tefillahs, there is no other option that just that other people should daven for him. So that's what this pasuk, and that's how we'll have, that's how he'll be healed. Says the Gemara, Imkain, says the Gemara, if that's all what this pasuk is coming to teach us, it would be adequate, lichtoi v'tomei yikra, mai v'tomei tomei. What does the Torah use the word tomei? Twice, shema minotati, to teach us both dinim. One regarding people davening on behalf of the Metzora, and one is to teach us the halacha of the making a marker on a kever. And the Ramban actually says that that's the purpose of the mitzvah of Bika Chaylim, that a person is supposed to go and be Mevaka Chaylim, and when you see that the person that you're visiting is not doing well, you daven for him. And the Ramban says, in Masechet Nedarim, that Mem Amen Aleph, he says very sharp words. He says, "Avakas achoyla." If somebody goes to do bika choylim, v'loy bika shloy rachmim, and he did not daven on behalf of this individual, that says the Gemara, says the Rabban, like kiyam mitzvah, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of bika choylim. So the Sefer Shmiras Loshon, the Chavetz Chaim, explains that a person who is a mitzayra and suffers, and not only suffers by being a mitzayra, but he's embarrassed by everybody realizing that he's a mitzayra, that is the way that he has the kapara and has the refuah from the tzaras. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. V'tamei tamei yikra, he has to announce to everyone that he's a mitzayra. By announcing to everyone he's a mitzayra, that causes him to be embarrassed. And once he's embarrassed, that will cause, that embarrassment will cause that he should have a kapara refuah. Abayam mehocha, because the pasuk says lufnei evil esita mechshol, and as we know, the pasuk doesn't mean to be not to be taken literal, that we're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. We have to help people avoid them from doing an avera, and that's why by making the marker, we prevent anybody from becoming tamei. But papama, the pasuk says soilu soilu panu derech, clear out the road from anything that is tamei. Rav Chinan Amar, the pasuk says, "Harimu michshol maderech ami." Pasuk in Yeshaya, remove any stumbling blocks from my way. Rav Shubi Reider of Idi Amar, the pasuk says, "V'hadatlam asaderech yelchuba." Make markers in the road to teach us which road you're allowed to travel on, which not. Mazutra Amar, the pasuk says, "V'zartim es bnei Yisrael matumosam." We have an obligation to create a situation that people should be separated from their tumah. Rav Ashi Amar, the pasuk says, "V'shmartim es mishmarti." Asu mishmeres to mishmarti. The Torah says, "Do all sorts of safeguards to prevent tumah." Ravina Amar, "V'som derech arena b'yeshal kim." Somebody who makes a marker on the road to make sure to prevent people from becoming tamei, such a person will be zoicha to see b'yesha elakim will be zoicha to see the Yeshua's Hashem. But comments the Gemara on this pasuk. Omar Rabbi Shuvan Levi, call us Samar Chaysov, somebody who is careful to pay attention to what he's doing. Zoicha v'roi b'shua shal kodesh baruch hu. Shenemar v'som derech, Al-Tikri v'som, with a sin, Ela v'sham derech. Sham means that he has to consider the repercussions of what he does. And a person who considers the repercussions of what he does, arena b'yesh alakim. And the Gemara gives us such an example. The Gemara says, Rav Yanai have a lehu talmidai. Rav Yanai had a talmid. The koyom have a makshalei. That whenever Rav Yanai gave a shir, he would ask questions. The ships of the rigla, but they used to give a shir before Yontif Shabbos, Hagol Drosha, Shabbos Shuvah Drosha, Lo have a makshalei. He wouldn't ask questions. Why? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat that I saw is because there were many people that attended that shir. And since there were many people that attended the shir, if he's going to ask the question, and Rabbi Yanai won't be able to answer the question that's being asked, Rabbi Yanai will be embarrassed. And he was smart enough to realize that it's inappropriate when there's such a large crowd attending the shir that he should do anything that would chas v'shalom perhaps cause that the Rebbe should be embarrassed. Another pshat that I saw is that what he did was, again, since there were many people that attended that shir, when you have so many people attending the shir, you need to be concerned that the people who are coming need to hear what's said in the shir. And they can't be confused, because once the questions and answers begin, they lose track of what the Rebbe's trying to teach. So when it's a shir with a small crowd, and it's the Talmid HaChacham who are attending the shir, that isn't such a significant consideration. But when we have a large crowd, and we have to make sure that they get everything what's taught, that is so important. It says the Gemara Kariyalei, and he said regarding him, V'sam derech arena b'yesh alakim, somebody who is careful to do this, arena b'yesh alakim. I saw a story with the Ar Sameach. Ar Sameach, we know, Ramei Simcha, was the Rav of the city of Dvinsk. And there was once a Rav who came to give a shir in the city of Dvinsk. And in the middle of the shir, one of the people in the audience started asking questions. Ar Sameach, when he heard what happened, said, "This person doesn't know the difference between right and left, and he's asking questions." So they didn't understand what the Ar Sameach meant. So he said, "I meant this Gemara. Our Gemara says that the Pasuk says the sum with the a sin, with the point, with the dot on the left side. But the Gemara says we should learn it v'sham, with the dot on the right side. A person who doesn't have the ability to recognize when is the right time to ask a question and when is the wrong time to ask a question, that's the person who's asking questions." I saw the Mefarshim explained the Pasuk says, we just look, call us some or choysom. If somebody is careful that everything he does, he pays attention to every detail of what he does, then even when archoisov, even when he's a guest, under all circumstances, he's careful to do only what's the right thing to do, he's an individual that will see Yeshua's Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim explains that when a person comes up to the Olam HaEmes after he passes away, there's a road that takes him to Gan Eden. But it's not always a road that you could find. Tells us the Gemara, Hasam Derech, if somebody lives his life with paying attention to what he's supposed to do, a person who spends his life paying attention to what he's supposed to do, they will show him a renu derech. They will show him directly the path to Gan Eden after he leaves this world. The Maseilas Yesharim says that if a person is careful to pay attention to whatever he does, they should make sure it's the right thing to do. Such a person, mida k'megen mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will watch him. In other words, says the Maseilas Yesharim, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world mida k'nega mida. So a person who's careful and is with what he does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and watches that he should always do the right thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will watch him as well. And it's worthwhile to say over the words of the Sefer Chinuch. U'mitzvah l'leches mitzvah tofrei shud'alef. Mitzvah l'leches l'damas b'darka Hashem Yisbaruch. inyanahu. Dar klash yifchal adam bechala inyanah bechamaisav. A person should always choose by mechila, by mishtiya, eating and drinking, by masav matan and business, by mitvatayin and learning, by mitfila and davening, by mesecha and speaking, bechal davar. Hadarach hatoyva v'matzis. The proper way to live. V'lo yisrachik ela katzvois loylem, and not to go with extremes. V'klala inyan amrazel. The Chazal teach us, Shiye Adam Som Deos of Tamid. A person should always be thinking, Yachsh bin Yonov, Lasis Som Oderach HaMitzu V'Yosher. He should always take into consideration if what he's doing, is he doing it in the proper fashion. Som Chadover, and the Mechinach continues to say, Dixiv V'Som Derech HaRenem B'Yesh L'Kim, Al Tikri V'Som El V'Shom. That's the way we're supposed to live, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives. The Maral explains that if somebody is careful and does everything deliberately, thought out to do it properly, he will be zaycha, says the Maral, to see that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in this world, that we don't always think, that we think we don't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, this person will be zaycha to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing and why he's doing it. Another pshat that the morale suggests is that somebody who lives his life in such a fashion, says the morale, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world b'derech hateva. But if somebody who lives his life in such a fashion, he is l'malam in hateva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will constantly live with him, with Yeshua Hashem, with Nisim l'malam b'derech hateva. Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, aim at Zayinan, we don't make a marker, like a kazayis min ames, not when we only have a kazayis min ames, v'loy aletzim kasayra, not when we only have a bone the size of a barley, v'loy adovish enim atam boil, or not when we have a tumah, as we'll describe extensively, that doesn't give off tumas oil, amitzayin al shedr v'al gulgoylus, the shedrus is when we have a full spine, then it gives off tumas oil. The kugelos, when we have a full skull, it gives off tumas oil. The roiv minyan, if we have most of the bones of the dead person. Or roiv minyan, we have most of the body. Or roiv minyan, most of the bones. They too give off tumas oil. Veimitzayim avados, we don't have to make a marker on a place that everybody knows there's tumah there, because everybody knows to stay away. Amitzayin al asfekus, but we do have to make a marker where there's a suffix, which veilein asfekus, and examples of asfekus, which the Gemara is going to explain now, what they are in a moment, sichos, uprois, ubeis, apras. Says the Braisa, Eim amidim mitzim b'makom tumah, we don't put the tzion right where the tumah is, shloi lafsa sataris, because the tzion is put right where the tumah is. By the time the person gets to the tzion, he will already have become tamei, or if he's carrying truma, that truma will have become tamei. So it's important to not put it directly there. So the hafsad is a taris. Vei mechik and tzion b'makom tumah, but we don't put it too far away for the same reason. So the hafsad is Yisrael. We don't want to create a situation that all of Eretz Yisrael is one big beis hakfaras. Ask the Gemara, the kazayis min ames, enim atam oil. We're saying that if it's a kazayis min ames, we don't have to be concerned about tumas oil. Is that true? For Tanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Olois, Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph, elim atam oil, the following things give off tumas oil, kazayis min ames. Answer the Gemara, Omer HaPapa, Hocha Maiskinan, Hocha, we're speaking about a situation, because Zayis Mitzumts Maiskinan. We're speaking about a situation that you have exactly a Kazayis, the Soif, and certainly if we start off with a Kazayis, it's ultimately going to decompose, and we won't have a Kazayis. And since we won't have a Kazayis, it won't give off the Tumas oil, Soif, Mechsa, Chasser, and therefore Chazal told us, Mutav, Yisro Alav Truma Mekachal Fishah. So even though right now it does have the shear, and right now if you came in, Truma came in contact with it, you would have to burn the Truma. But since it's only temporary, we do that for Al Yisrafu all of Loilam, because once we make that marker, the marker is there forever. And people will always burn truma that comes in contact with it, but it may not be appropriate because there's no more sheer kazayas. So I saw a very interesting question that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein asks, that he discussed with his father-in-law, Zatzal, Rabbi Yoshev, based on this Gemara. There was a situation where there was a concern, more than a concern, that somebody was selling non-kosher meat. And the question was, if they will immediately announce that this individual is selling non-kosher meat, of course everybody will stop buying the meat from that person. They'll do what they have to do. But if they announce it immediately, they will not have the opportunity to be able to thoroughly investigate from where this non-kosher meat is coming. So maybe it's better to wait and do the thorough investigation and find the source of this meat. And by finding the source of the meat, we'll be able to stop it not just from this one store, but from everyone. And the question was, and based on this Gemara, Rav Zilberstein, when he spoke to his father-in-law, Zatzal, wanted to suggest that our Gemara says we sometimes have to think about the big picture. And just like our Gemara says, even though right now I have here a kazayis min ha-meis, but I may not have here a kazayis min ha-meis later on, and therefore don't make a marker. Similarly, maybe we should wait to finish the investigation, even though in the interim period, there may be people that will be eating non-kosher meat. Rabbi Yoshev said that the two cases are not similar at all. In our Gemara, there is a concern that the person may come in contact with Tumah. It's not certain that he's going to come in contact with Tumah. And since it's only a concern, so we take the big picture situation into consideration. But the case that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita was speaking about was a situation where there was non-kosher meat being consumed. So yes, there may be an advantage to wait. And by waiting, maybe we'll be able to solve the problem and help even more people avoid eating non-kosher meat. But right now, we have to worry about the person who's currently eating non-kosher meat, and he says we should notify them. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Brice of Eilen as Sveikus. The Brice identified these are the Sveikus, has Sichais, Prois, or Besa Pras. So the Gemara identifies what do each one of these things mean. Sichchais, the definition of sichchais is an elon hamesach al aretz. You have a tree that is hanging over a piece of property, and there's a mace under that tree. And the way Rashi explains is that you have various branches sticking out out of the tree, but we don't know over which branch is over the tree. That's tame. And pros is similar. Avon pros hayotz min agadar. We have stones jutting out from a wall. And again, we don't know which is the stone that's over the mace. So Taisus, the Masechta Nida, asks a question. Taisus asks that we have a rule that Sofak Tumah B'Rishus Rabbim, when there's a Sofak Tumah and a Rishus Rabbim, the halacha is its tahar. So why are we concerned here? Isn't this a Sofak Tumah Rishus Rabbim? So some explain that actually we're talking about in a Rishus HaYachid. And therefore, we have in a Rishus HaYachid, the halacha is Sofak Tumah Rishus HaYachid is actually Tamei. Others explain, even though Sofak Tumah Rishus Rabbim is tahar, if we says the Ritva, if we have a place where we know there's a kever, we just don't know which branch is over the kever, that can't be considered a Sofak Tumah. The definition of a Sofak Tumah is that we don't know if there's Tumah there at all. But if we know that there's Tumah there, we just don't know exactly where the Tumah is, that isn't considered a Sofak Tumah. Beis HaPras, what is the Beis HaPras? And a Beis HaPras is a concept that's often brought up in Shas. And there are three types of Beis HaPras. One is a field where there was a kever that got plowed up. The next is where there's a kever in a field, but we don't know where it is. And the third, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, is a stay habaychim. The base of pras shenechesh by kever min a Torah, it's not tame because it got plowed up. It's only tame drabonin because once it got plowed up, the bones are disintegrated, and they're not really giving tame midaraisa. It's only tame drabonin. Base of pras letnan hachorish kever harei oisu base of pras. The kama oisa, how much of an area is considered the base of pras? Maloi mana, the size of maloi mana, that is mea amma. Or base of pras, ask the Gemara, mimatama ba'ayil. Ask the Gemara, we're concerned about tumas oil on a base of pras. Because we said at the beginning of this sugya, that with sinin, we have to make a marker by base of pras. But why should we make a marker by base of pras? There is no tumas oil by base of pras. Because ask the Gemara, Vom Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Menach Beich Odin Beis HaPras V'Hoylich, a person can walk through the Beis HaPras and blow in front of him, and if he'll see, and if there's nothing there, he'll be able to continue walking. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami Mishmed Ulama, Beis HaPras Shenidish, if it completely got trampled upon, Tar, because whatever was there was trampled and it doesn't give off Tumah. Answers the Gemara, So why would we have to make a marker there? Answer the Gemara Amar Papa Loi Kasha. Kam besodesh oved by kever. As we mentioned, there are different types of base of pras. A base of pras that the kever is there, we just don't know where it is. There we have to make a marker. Kam besodesh nechesh by kever. Whereas when we have a base of pras where it was completely ground up, there we don't have to make a marker. Ask the Gemara Vesodosh over by Kever Beis HaPras Karolei. Is that called a Beis HaPras? Answer the Gemara in, as we said, Vatnan, the Mishnah Masech to all is Perk Yudches. Mishnah Beis teaches us, as we mentioned, Sholosh Beis HaPrasain, the three varieties of a Beis HaPras, Sodosh Nev by Kever, Sodosh Nechesh by Kever, Mestei Boichim. Ask the Gemara, Meistei Boichim, what is the definition of a Smei Boichim? Says the Gemara, Rishu bar Abba Mishmei Du'ul Amma, Soda Shemastirim by Mason. Field where they used to take off the Mason. So Rashi explains that they used to transport Mason from one city to another city, and sometimes a limb of that mace may fall off, and therefore it gives off Tuma. Other Rishayim say that sometimes they carry the mace from one place to another place, and they brought it to the Stei Boichim, and they may forget the mace there. Since they forget the mace there, that's why it gives off Tuma. The Tamamai, and why indeed is it give off Tuma? As we just said, Mishum Yish Baal Nogabo, they might have forgotten the mace there, or if they didn't forget the mace, they might have forgotten a limb of the mace. Ask the Gemara, is that true, what we just said a moment ago, that Sadosh Nechesh by Kever, Leboy Tzion, if it was a field that the kever got plowed up, there is no need for a marker. But Tanya, Matzah Sodom Mitzuyanis, we find a field that has a marker. Veina Yidua Mativa, and we don't know the status. Yesh Ba'alinus, if we see that trees there, Yidua Shenachas for kever. It's a proof that there was a kever that got plowed up. Ein Ba'alinus, but if there are no trees, Yidua Shad Ba'kever. So the Ravid asks, why is just because we see the trees, and the trees could not have been planted without plowing, but maybe the trees were there before the mace was there. So Ritva answers that we're referring here to trees that don't only need plowing before the trees are planted, we need plowing on a constant basis. And since they need plowing on a constant basis, that is a proof that that the kever, if it was there, was plowed up. We have to have a Talmud Chacham that will testify what is the status of the field. Lefish enakol became a dover. We can never be confident what is going on here unless we get expert testimony. Amra Papa. So we see over here that even a field where there was a kever that got plowed up, we made a marker. Amra Papa, Kitanya he, Besodosh Oved Bekever. That is not talking about a place where it was plowed. It's a place where the kever got lost. The tziyuna that they made a marker after the kever was lost, and then it maybe got plowed off. Yesh Belunas. So therefore, if there are trees afterwards, bidush nechesh bakever, ein ba'alonis, bidush av bakever. Ask the Gemara, but why are the trees araya? V'leichesh duma ilonis megavoy, maybe the trees, in the area of the trees, there is no concern, because if there was a kever, it got completely plowed up. But maybe, kever mabaroi, the kvarim on the other side of the tree. Answers the Gemara, as Ula said elsewhere, we're talking about trees. The trees are on the border, and the other side of the tree is the Rishus Rabim. And since it's Rishus Rabim, there's no reason to be concerned that anybody buried a nift in the Rishus Rabim. But ask the Gemara, yes, on the other side of the tree is the Rishus Rabim, but maybe on the side that we're concerned about is where the kever is. Answers the Gemara b'subachim. There are trees all over. So since they're plow trees, which represent plowing all over, we don't have to be concerned. We learned earlier in our shir that we always keep the marker near the makom tuma. So if the marker is near the trees, it's obvious that where was the kever, where the trees are. And where the trees are now, got plowed up. And therefore, there's no concern with the rice of Tumah.